Good morning again, everyone. I came across a statistic the other day about ticker tape parades, and you'll be amazed at the amount of paper confetti and ticker tape that falls on those occasions. When Charles Lindbergh crossed the Atlantic, about 375 tons of paper were collected from the streets. There have been similar accounts for other occasions, famous World Series wins, Iranian hostages being released, Olympic medalists being celebrated, astronauts landing on the moon. But the largest recorded amount of paper recovered from a ticker tape parade was when John Glenn returned from being the first man and launched into space in 1962. At that time, 3,474 tons of paper went over John Glenn's head, not all at once. But people love to celebrate. They loved a parade. It wasn't too different when Jesus made his entry into Jerusalem on that day. There are estimates that the crowds being in the millions as the word got around and people rushed to the streets to see Jesus as he came through. Why wasn't the proclaimed Messiah on a horse? What were they thinking? They were thinking that maybe the conqueror is coming, so he's not on a horse. Why aren't they preparing a conqueror for Rome? What is it that the people want? But you see, it's not a matter of what people wanted. It boils down to what people needed. And only God can provide that. The cry of every heart is a cry of fulfillment. The cry of every heart is a cry for completeness. The cry of every heart is, in essence, only what Jesus can provide. And what we just heard is the laying of the groundwork to make that possible for us. But what I want to focus on today from the passion that we just read is the focal point for everyone who knows Christ and walks with him in their lives. Jesus had just led the disciples into the garden. He reveals the distress that he is experiencing, the very human side of Jesus. And he takes the three, Peter, James, and John, to a place a little bit further along and shares the agony that he is going to be experiencing in that moment. And he has a request, just one. Watch and pray for me. Please just be awake and pray. It's hard for us to even imagine what Jesus is feeling, but we do get a glimpse in the one verse that's in the Passion. Jesus cried out, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." That would be like you and I crying out, "Dad, please don't let this happen to me. But if you want me to do it, I will." You see, there is a struggle of hearts going on. Over the past couple of weeks, we have been looking at the heart, our heart. The heart being the place where rebellion first began, where by free will it was said, "I don't need God," or "I can be like God." It is in the heart, as Jesus said, that evil desires come from, that we've covered a couple of weeks ago. It is also the heart that is reborn. It comes alive and is renewed in Christ. But there's also another heart going in play here. A heart that is filled with desire. A heart that is filled with such love that we cannot even fathom. And that heart is the very heart of God. Because it is there in that heart that brings us to the place to where what we remember today and what we just read. We could take any of these events that we read about today and speak volumes of their importance and the implication that it has for us today. The people in the streets yelling, "Hosanna," the betrayal, his trial, the false accusations, the flogging, the crucifixion, his death. And we will cover some of that over the coming week. All of these have important and prophetic connections. and has at its focus a struggle to bring our hearts into alignment with God's heart. And here in this garden that we call Gethsemane, which means olive press, is this huge amount of pressure being put down on Jesus in the garden. Here is this garden setting of two hearts are struggling together. Man's heart struggling for an answer from God, thousands of years of separation, and God's heart struggling to give an answer, the only answer, at a tremendous price. So here is Jesus, God in the flesh, who has come to the human race, born a perfect man, just as Adam was born perfect. He has gathered these men from all sorts of backgrounds. He has given them everything that they need to this point. And now, at this moment, has to happen. Really try to grasp the scene for a moment. It was in the garden that man, who was made perfect, chose to rebel against God and fell into sin. It is again in a garden that Jesus, perfect man, who is without sin, goes to battle with the biggest temptation of his earthly life, the decision to take sin upon himself. So Jesus goes to where he always goes, seeking direction and comfort and love of the Father. He goes to prayer, because he is in agony over what is about to happen. He cries out for this cup to be taken away. You see, this cup is the cup of God's wrath. This cup is the cup that all of mankind deserves. The rebellion against God, turning our backs away from God, the denying of his existence, the lies and the deceit about him. So here is this struggle going on. Both hearts are being tempted. Jesus himself is being tempted. He doesn't have to do this. He has all the power to walk away from this. The disciples also struggling just to stay awake and pray. They'll need strength to endure. They will be tempted to fall away when it gets tough. So Jesus says, pray. Pray so that you don't, so you can be strong. Pray so you can endure. Pray so the strength that you will need will be with you. Because you know what? Life is not always going to be a parade. I need you to be ready. I need you to be listening. I need you to be strong in your faith. You see, there is no power greater on earth than the power of prayer. Prayer is our connection to the Father. Did you notice in our reading something that Jesus said when he found them sleeping? Jesus said to Peter, who was sleeping, he says, Simon. Now, what's that all about? His name's Peter. What happened to the rock? What a shock that must have been for Peter. It's not easy to stay awake when you're tired, when you've had such a long day. I might have shared this with some of you before, but as you know, Debbie, my wife, is a night nurse, and she works 12-hour shifts. And when I have a long day and I come home and I say, boy, I'm tired, I somehow don't get the sympathy that I'm looking for. So Peter, James, and John are struggling in this garden. It's not easy when you're trying to go one way and the world is pulling you in another. There are so many things around us that try to pull our attention away from God. Earlier this week, I was getting in a hurry. There were a lot of things that needed to be done, and I had a couple of appointments to get to, and I came in here to do a couple of things to get set up for today, and I was going to rush out to get to those appointments, and I had a quickening in my heart. Stop. Pray. And I had to stop in the middle of the church there and got on my knees in the pew and started praying. You see, even in ministry, we can sometimes get so focused on doing something, and that one thing we should be doing all along is praying first. We can get so busy in life that we can forget that God is even out there except on Sunday. Look what Jesus did. Yes, he is God incarnate. But he, for the moment, was every bit as human as you and I. And even though the Father for a moment had to turn his back on his only Son, he endured. And we come back to that familiar verse that we read a few weeks ago, and during Lent we read it every week. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him would have eternal life. He is giving his very best to be a sin offering for us. Can we grasp that? He gave his best, his sinless Son, who deserved none of this, but took it all upon himself. And if you walk out of here with any understanding today, try to see this. The very heart of God loves you so much and is in this moment took steps to graft the heart of mankind to himself. He's trying to get us back to a place where instead of him walking in the garden and crying, Adam, where are you? He is instead right here. He came to us to get reconnected to us. He wants us to be in conversation with him. He wants us to pray, not just on the weekend, not just in your quiet time. Those are good times. But if you have asked Christ into your life, he is with you all the time. Jesus overcame that struggle in the garden, and he has provided a way. And here is the question for us. Do you want to walk in the garden with God? Wherever you are in life, whatever you think you've done, you're never too far away to be walking with Jesus. And he will pick you up right where you are standing. Isaiah reminds us these wonderful words from his chapter 58 and verse 11. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in the sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Think about that. That is what we become to the world around us. Sometimes we think the task is too big for us. But what Jesus is saying, take what you know, take what I have given you. I haven't left you. I'm always with you. I'm always refreshing you. I'm always giving you a fresh drink. I'm always allowing you to grow. You are a well-watered garden if you do the things that you need to do. Pray. Listen to me. Read my word. There is nothing to fear with Christ working through you. The disciples later found out the reality of that. Even after they fled in the beginning, they found out when the Spirit fell on them at Pentecost, they found out the truth. Why is it important to pray? Because God, by his Spirit, desires so much to continue to reveal his heart to yours. It's real. What happened during this week and what we remember in these events is enormous. These events changed the world. Look around us. Look at the people meeting in foreign lands underground because they know something is real and they're not giving up on it. So let us look at the garden and the path that Jesus has paved for us. Ask yourselves, am I spiritually awake? Am I moving in the direction that he wants me to move? Is my heart open to allow God's heart to be revealed? God has a work for you wherever you are. Remember, we're his ambassadors. We're hands, his hands and feet and mouth wherever we are. He has a work for us to do. Let us stay awake. Be prepared. Let us listen to what God is saying to us. Pray. Allow him to speak to you. Allow him to motivate you and move you in the direction that he wants you to go. May we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for what you have done for us and what you did on that cross for us. Father, we ask that you would continue to open our hearts to you. Father, for anyone here who's never really experienced that, again, I ask that you would just move in their heart right now, Lord God, to allow them to receive you. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I need you, Lord God. I need you in my life, and I surrender my life to you now. And Father, for all of us, I ask that you would just continue to move in a mighty way. Help us become that garden, Lord God, that is watered. Help us to remember to stay in that communication with you wherever we are, to pray fervently, to pray and listen to what you want us to do, Lord God. So, Father, I ask that you would surround us all with that attitude. Spark in ourselves, in each one of us, that will just rage into a fire throughout this community, from churches all over. This isn't just a nativity thing. I'm praying for the body of Christ in this area and beyond, that we would come alive, Lord God, in you. So, Father, we pray that you would allow that spark to blossom. And we give it all to you, Father, and we thank you. And we give you praise and thanks for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.